a lot in that parasha in how to be holy and to be holy people unto Yah. And so today you're going to have to bear with me. You'll find in the newsletter a lot of scriptures, purely and simply because it's not my words you'll be listening to, it's scripture. I have based virtually everything that I have done on this message today out of the scripture, because it's not me who should be telling you how to be a holy people. It's the word. The word tells us how to be holy. The word shows us how to be holy. So that's what I've endeavoured to do. And so let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for the word that you've given me today. I pray that it will be received how you intended it, that you will just, we will see the wondrous things from your word that you've given me this day, and that we will be able to act them out into our daily lives. Abba, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, so I've titled it Kiddushim, Attaining the Goal of Kingdom Torah. Because the Torah is the basis upon which the foundation of all of the scriptures. And it's in the Torah that we are called to be holy as Yehovah is holy. So let us have a look at slide 2, please. Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. It says, don't take vengeance on or bear a grudge against any of your people. Rather, love your neighbour as yourself. I am Yehovah. And in Yaakov, James chapter 2, verse 8, it says, if you truly attain the goal of kingdom Torah, in conformity with the passage that says, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing well. So we've got to love our neighbour, and if we can do that, we're doing well. So that's confirmation of Yah's word. And in Yochanan and John 15, verse 20, it says, this is my command, that you keep on loving each other as I have loved you. So Yah gives us three instructions all on the same thing, just to let us know that we get the message. So these are all keys to attaining the kingdom Torah. But I also want to look at Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John 2, verses 9 to 11. And this is saying that anyone who claims to be in this light while hating his brother is still in the dark. The person who keeps loving his brother remains in the light, and there is nothing in him that would make him trip. But the person who hates his brother is in the dark. Yes, he is walking in the dark, and he doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, I'm going to look at four things in that last verse. He is in the dark. This is speaking of spiritual darkness. So we can be in this room full of light, but we can still be in spiritual darkness. He is walking in the dark, or he is walking in spiritual darkness. He doesn't know where he is going. He doesn't know where his spirit is going, is virtually what that is saying. Because his spirit is not connected to Yah's spirit. The darkness has blinded his eyes, for he has no idea that he is even in spiritual darkness. And this is why it's so hard to win so many people into the kingdom. We can live with them for 20 years and still not get them into the kingdom, because they're in spiritual darkness and they don't want to come out of it. They don't want to get into the light. There are many who've confessed believers like that today. They can make a commitment to Yeshua, but they've not made the next step to love each other, or to love one another, or to love the neighbour. The reason for that is usually that although they've been forgiven by Yah, they have not forgiven themselves. And they do not know how to love themselves, let alone love anybody else. And this is why when someone comes into the kingdom, they need counselling. They need to be shown how to forgive so that they can love. Because unless forgiveness has taken place, the love can't happen. And this is a very important step in attaining the goal of kingdom Torah. In Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John 3 verse 11, it says, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love each other." And 1 Timothy 1 5, "The purpose of this is to promote love from a clean heart." This is why we need forgiveness. We've got to be able to forgive ourselves. Otherwise, our heart is not clean. And once our heart is clean, then it will come from a good conscience and a sincere trust. So it's the scriptures that show us how to do it all and how we can counsel others to bring them to a place of being able to forgive. And as I say, to me, the most important thing is forgiving yourself. Letting go of what you've done in the past and forgive yourself. The title of our parasha is Kedoshim, which means holy people. We are commanded to be holy as Yehovah is holy. Not only is Yehovah holy, his son Yeshua is holy. So let us look at some of the titles of Yeshua and the key phrases attached to those titles. Can we have slide 5, please? So the titles of Yeshua, and I'm going to tie them to the key phrases for you. Yeshua is the Holy One. Now, Yeshua not only was the Holy One, but he walked in the light. There was no darkness in him whatsoever. He was light, he is light, and he walks in the light. He is the Word of life. Yeshua is the Word that spoke creation into being. And the Word of life is what cleanses us from all sin. Only Yeshua can cleanse us from sin, nobody else. Once we've accepted Yeshua, he becomes our advocate. But we have to confess our sins and let go past them before he will be that advocate to Yehovah for us. He is the righteous one. Okay? And by keeping his commandments or mitzvot, helps us become righteous. He is our propitiation. He died for our sins. And therefore, he didn't love himself. He died. He didn't love the world. He died so that we could be forgiven, that we could have the forgiveness of sins, and that we would no longer be of the world, that we would look to him. It didn't matter what happened in the world. It doesn't matter what happened in the world today. If we follow Yeshua, then we know we're doing the right thing. He is the son of Yehovah. Therefore, he is the Word of Yehovah. He abides in you. Sorry, he is the Word that abides in you. That's crossed over because of the on my screen because of the thing it's in. So, he is the Son of Yehovah, and the Word of Yehovah abides in you because Yeshua is now in you. Yehovah is light. And you are now, once born again, being born of Yehovah, you also walk in the light. He is the Saviour of the world. And therefore, he laid down his life for us. Therefore, he loved us so much to do that, the only thing we can do is to love one another as he loved us. And the scripture we read goes on to say, well, who is my neighbour? Because we have to love our neighbour as ourselves. The neighbour in Nelson's dictionary is a friend, a close associate, or a person who lives nearby. Yeshua took it a bit further. He compared it to strangers, as in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that is why I like to say that your neighbour is anyone you can come in contact with in your everyday life. It can be the person at the supermarket checkout. It can be the person on a door somewhere. It can be the driver of the train or the tram that you got here by. They are your neighbour. The people within the carriage of your tram or train that you got here by. They are your neighbour. You may not have met them, but they are your neighbour, and if in need, we should help them. Because love is also a word that needs to be explained. We have to love our neighbour. But how do we love our neighbour? There are three different forms of love, and we need to when to apply each one. The three forms are eros, philios, or agape. The word of today sees love, the world of today sees love mainly as being eros, which of course is not true. Agape is not just an unconditional love, but it is the primary love of the will rather than the emotions of the eros love. And this is especially true in marriage, in families, and in the family of Yehovah. Too often people feel that they can fall in and out of love according to their feelings. But love is actually an act of will. When we marry, we make a commitment with our spouse and a covenant with Yah to love that person until death do us part. That does not mean that we'll live happily ever after. There will be bumps in the road, and when love is an act of the will, or agape, unless adultery is involved, we should always work at using our will to forgive each other and ourselves. To say, I do not love you anymore, is choosing not to love that person. It's an act of will. It should have nothing to do with feelings. As I say to every couple I speak to before their marriage, when we marry someone, we marry them for their strengths, but we have to live with their weaknesses. No one is perfect. We all have weaknesses. So we can't expect our relationships all to be perfect all of the time. They're not. But when we use forgiveness, then it's restored. But forgiveness must come in. The next scriptures that I'm going to demonstrate the agape love of Yeshua and his desire to do the Father's will. In Yochanan John 3:16, it says, "For Yehovah so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed." Yehovah gave his Son, but his Son made the commitment and had the will, the choice of laying down his own life as well. And it was through that that we get eternal life. In Romans 5 and verse 8 it says, "But Yehovah demonstrates his own love for us in that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners." He didn't ask us to make sure that we'd repented and made confessions first before he died. He did it, knowing that some of us would and some of us wouldn't. Yochanan Aleph 1 John 4:19 says, "We ourselves love now because he loved us first." It's something that I praise him for every day of my life. That he loved me before I loved him. He knew me before I knew him. He chose me before I chose him. And none of us would be here today if we hadn't been chosen, if we hadn't been taken out of whatever situation we were in and called into his kingdom. Agape love conveys Yehovah's will to his children about their attitude towards one another. Love for one another is proof to the world of being true Talmudim or disciples. In Yochanan and John 13 verse 35, it says, "Everyone will know that you are my Talmudim by the fact that you have love for each other." Philos or filio love reminds us of the Messianic community of Philadelphia, because it speaks of brotherly love, totally different to agape love or eros love. In Yochanan, John chapter 15 and verse 12, it says, "This is my command, that you keep on loving each other as I have loved you." And in Revelation 3:8, it says, "I know what you are doing. Look, I have put in front of you an open door, and no one can shut it. I know that you have but little power, yet you have obeyed my message and have not disowned me." In the book of Revelation, or Yochanan describes the Messianic community in Philadelphia as the faithful community. And the community stood at the gateway of a great opportunity. Yeshua said to this community, "See, I have put in front of you an open door and no one can shut it." That applies to each and every one of us. "I know that you have but little power, yet you have obeyed my message and you have not disowned me." That is really important. I'm going to read that again. It's verse 8. "See, I have put in front of you an open door so no one can shut it." They might think they've shut it on you, but they haven't. "I know that you have but little power and you feel helpless at the moment, but you have obeyed my message and I have not disowned you." I believe that this scripture is for all those who've stayed true to themselves and their faith during these past 2 years, and especially those that have suffered the trials and the tribulations of losing their jobs, losing their income, some maybe even losing family members because of their beliefs. And they're still suffering to this very day. But Yehovah says, "You have obeyed me and I have not disowned you. You have been true to him and he will be true to you." As I said earlier, forgiveness of others and oneself is a very important key. So I want to focus a little on forgiveness now. It mattered Yahoo, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 22. It says, "Then Kepha came up and said to him, 'Rabbi,'" or Rabbi, "'how often can my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? As many as seven times?' 'No, not seven times,' answered Yeshua, 'but 70 times seven.'" And Ephesians 4:32 says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, and forgive each other, just as in HaMashiach, Yehovah has also forgiven you." And in Matityahu 6:14 and 15, it says, "If you forgive others their offences, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their offences, your heavenly Father will not forgive yours." That's an ouch, isn't it? We must forgive. In Colossians 3:12-13, "Therefore, as Yehovah's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with feelings of compassion and with kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with one another. If anyone has a complaint against someone else, forgive him. Indeed, just as HaMashiach has forgiven you, so you must forgive." Forgiveness is also an act of the will. To be able to forgive is also helpful to overcome mental anguish. and can prevent mental illnesses. It's a key part of Kingdom Torah. This is why forgiveness is so important. To love your enemies is another special key. We only bring more problems on ourselves when we take vengeance rather than letting Yah take control of a situation. So let us look at what the word says about our enemies in Matthew 5 and verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And in Romans 12:20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap fiery coals of shame on his head. In Proverbs 25:21, if someone hates you, is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And in Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you. Bless them, don't curse them. I found when I was in the workplace that some people were very quite derogatory towards me because I was a believer and they weren't. They would walk into the lunchroom some days with the sole of some child's shoe and come up to me and say, here's one of your lost souls. They would make fun of the fact that I was a believer. They would do everything in their way to make things difficult for me. But all I did was pray for them. All I did was bless them. And eventually they came around. As part of the Messianic community, we should always be working at restoring a brother or a sister where possible. And I emphasize the point, where possible. Not all believers are willing to admit their wrongs or change their ways. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 it says, brothers, suppose someone is caught doing something wrong. You who have the ruach should set him right, but in a ruach of humility, keeping an eye on yourselves so that you won't be tempted too. And in Yaakov, James chapter 5, verses 19 to 20, it says, my brothers, if one of you wanders from the truth and someone causes him to return, you should know that whoever turns a sinner from his wandering path will save him from death and cover many sins. I'm now going to paraphrase 10 scriptures that tell us how to treat others, especially our enemies. And I'm trying to make what I say come from the word today, as I said, because I think that's far more important than any word that can come from me. Even though over the years I have used what I'm speaking to you in my own personal life to help me through condemnation. Okay, even though over the years I've used what I'm showing you through my own life, nothing that I am saying today I haven't done. I'm not asking you to do something that I wouldn't do myself. So let's have a look at slide 13. We are to receive one another in love. We are to edify one another. We are to serve one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to be forgiving one another. We are to be submitting to one another. We are to exhort one another. We are to consider one another. We are to be hospitable to one another. And we are to honour one another. Simple things, but they're all out of the scripture. None of those are in the newsletter because we didn't have enough room. So let us look now what Yah says about the true believer. In Yochanan Aleph 1 John 4:20 to 21. If anyone says, I love Elohim and hates his brother, he is a liar. For if a person does not love his brother whom he has seen, then he cannot love Elohim whom he has not seen. Yes, this is a command we have from him. Whoever loves Elohim must love his brother too. In Yochanan and Aleph, or 1 John 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Yeshua is HaMashiach has Yehovah as his father, and everyone who loves as Yehovah loves his offspring too. None of us are perfect, but we can smile. We can learn how to laugh at ourselves. I know that can be hard, but we can learn to do it. We can be there for other people. We can call people, see if they're okay through the week. Be courteous, and most of all, be a communicator. Words are important. Words are important. If we don't know there's something wrong, we can't help you. If you communicate with us, we can. We are commanded to love and not to hate. I find hate an extremely strong word. We may not like something or someone's actions, but as far as I'm concerned, don't care about you, we should never hate. I will admit, I raised 5 children, and I would not allow that word in their vocabulary. They could dislike something, they could dislike actions, but they can't hate their brother or sister. Wasn't going to happen on my watch. Many see hate as the opposite of love. I see it as a much stronger negative emotion. In Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 3, verses 14 and 15. Have I? That's all right. For we, for our part, know that we have passed from death to life because we keep loving the brothers. The person who fails to keep on loving is still under the power of death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. I wonder why I hate the word hate. Because my children weren't murderers. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. The way that we have come to know love is through his having laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And in Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 4, verse 7, it says, beloved friends, let us love one another, because love is from Yehovah. And everyone who loves has Yehovah as his father and knows Yehovah. Those who do not love do not know Yehovah, because Yehovah is love. And in Titus 3, verses 3 and 4, for at one time we too were foolish and disobedient, deceived and enslaved by a variety of passions and pleasures. We spent our lives in evil and envy. People hated us and we hated each other. But when the kindness and love of mankind of Elohim, our deliverer, was revealed, he delivered us. Here are a few quotes that can help us along the path to attaining our goal from the Kingdom Torah, of Kingdom Torah. True friendship is seen through the heart and not through the eyes. I'll repeat that one. True friendship is seen through the heart, not through the eyes. Many people will walk through our lives, but few people will leave footprints in our hearts.
You got a slide for
those? No. Your friend is the one who knows all about you and still likes you. I like that one. Praise Yah from Malachi. A friend is someone who sees through you and still enjoys the view. That's not bad either. And now scriptures that back that up. Okay, now you can go to slide 17. Proverbs 17:17 says, or Mishlei, a friend shows his friendship at all times. And in 27:17, just as iron sharpens iron, a person sharpens the character of his friend. And in Jochen and John 15:13, no one has a greater love than a person who lays down his life for his friends. Talking about each other or murmuring will never allow us to reach the goal of kingdom Torah. In Proverbs 15, or Mishlei 15, verse 4, it says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but when it twists things, it breaks the spirit. It's easy to break the spirit by twisting what people say. A soothing tongue is wholesome and it brings healing. Twisting something is perverseness and is tantamount to viciousness. When the spirit is broken, it is fractured and needs to be mended. And the best way to show that you love someone is how you talk about them when they are not in your presence. In Mishlei Proverbs 11:13, it says, a gossip goes around revealing secrets, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. What we say, or what comes out of our mouths, especially in relation to other people, can not only be detrimental to what others think, but can also be detrimental to our own credibility. In Yaakov, James chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, with it we bless Yehovah, the Father, and with it we curse people who were made in the image of Elohim. The next two scriptures are important within families and those close to us, I believe. In Galatians 5 and verse 15, if you go on snapping at each other and tearing each other to pieces, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. I think you find that more in large families than you do in one or two. Maybe I'm wrong. In Colossians 3 verse 9, never lie to one another, because you have stripped away the old self with its ways. I will admit that lying is one action of which I have very little tolerance. You can break my possessions, you can think of me whatever you want, but don't lie to me. Because I can pick a lie and I can read it like a book. And it affects the spirit within me, and it really can cause me to rise up. When you lie, you are not showing love, but hiding the truth. Even lies of omission are really important in relationships and amongst families. To attain the goal of kingdom Torah, we have to show love. We need to show love. And we must show honesty at all times. You know, as I always told my children, there's no point in lying because you'll always get found out. Always get found out. Happened to me one Mother's Day when I had to end up going to the Gold Coast Hospital because my son asked if he could go out and play with friends. Okay, son, it was fine, you can go. But what he didn't tell me was that he'd signed up to play rugby union with the Surface Paradise Rugby Union Club. And he was playing a match and ended up in hospital with concussion on Mother's Day. He got found out. I keep telling him, son, just be honest. He's now 54. Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1 says, let brotherly friendship continue. And in Kepher Aleph, 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love each other deeply with all your heart. And in Romans 13:10, love does not do harm to a neighbour. Therefore, love is the fullness of Torah. And in Romans 13:8, don't owe anyone anything except to love one another. For whoever loves his fellow human being has fulfilled Torah. And in Kefa Aleph 1 Peter 2:17, be respectful to all. Keep loving the brotherhood, fear Yehovah, and honouring the emperor. Kefa Aleph 3 verse 8 says, finally, all of you, be in one mind and feeling, love as brothers, and be compassionate and humble-minded. Yochanan John 15:17 says, this is what I command you, keep loving each other. And Yochanan 8:13-34, I am giving you a new command, that you keep on loving each other in the same way that I have loved you. You are also to keep on loving each other. And in Tehillim, Psalms 133, verse 1, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live in harmony. Romans 12, verse 10, love each other devotedly and with brotherly love, and set examples for each other in showing respect. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, concerning the love for brothers, we do not need to write you, but for you yourselves have been taught by Yehovah to love each other. To attain the goal of Kingdom Torah, we also need to do good works. It's not just saying, I love you, and then expecting them to fend for themselves. In Yochanan Aleph 1 John 3:17 and 18, it says, if someone has worldly possessions and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how can he be loving Yehovah? Children, let us love not with words and talk, but with actions and reality. And in Yaakov James 2:15-17, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and someone says to him, Shalom, keep warm and eat hearty, without giving him what he needs, what good does it do? Thus faith itself, by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead. There should be no divisions, cliques within the Messianic community, and we were shown this in our Torah reading today about factions. I'm sure you've all been in churches where cliques have been the norm, be they in regard to race, money, or something else. We should all be reaching out to people within the community, not just outside of it. All people within the community should be treated the same. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 it says, nevertheless, brothers, I call on you in the name of our Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of our Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, to agree, all of you, in what you say, and not let yourselves remain split into factions, but be restored to having a common mind and a common purpose. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25 to 26, so that there will also be no disagreements within the body, but rather all the parts will be equally concerned for all the others. Thus, if one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all parts share its happiness. As most of you are aware, no person in this community receives a wage or income. We are all volunteers. The board members and the ministers do the bulk of the work, whether it's preparing for the service, setting up, pulling down, making sure we are compliant to the Australian Charities Commission, keeping finances in order, doing monthly BAS statements, on top of ministerial counselling, etc. It's a board member you see vacuuming the floors. All this is done out of love. No one is put on a pedestal. We are equal. We have four spiritual mitzvot or commands to obey in the Torah. And I believe that if we follow those, we can't go wrong. In Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John 3:23-24, it says, "This is his command, that we are to trust in the person and the power of his Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, and to keep loving in one another, just as he commanded us. Thus, those who obey his commands remain united with him and he with them. Here is how we know that he remains united with us, by the Ruach whom he gave us." So within that, those scriptures, there are four things that it says. The first mitzvah or commandment is to believe on his name or to love the Lord our Yah. And we know that we love Yehovah. Second is to love your neighbour. We can only do this if we do the third one, which is remain in him and he in us. And this is done through prayer, fellowship with Yeshua and like-minded people. And leading to the fourth, it's through by the Ruach HaKodesh, which he gave us, through our immersion in the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit. Yochanan also says in Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 4:11-12, "Beloved friends, this is how Yehovah loved us. We likewise ought to love one another. No one has ever seen Yehovah. If we love one another, Yehovah remains united with us, and our love for him has been brought to its goal in us." This is exactly where we have been aiming for the whole message. But don't take my word for it, as there are biblical examples of people who understood this goal of love and friendship. Avraham was called the friend of Yehovah. Yehovah spoke to Moshe face to face as a friend. Shaul and Barnabas preached the word together. And King David and Jonathan made a covenant together, which David honored after Jonathan was killed. And he had his son eat at the king's table for the rest of his life. I want to conclude with the fruit of the Spirit, or the Ruach, purely and simply because this is how we recognize Yehovah's Kedoshim, or holy people. We know them through their fruit. Galatians 5:22-23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things." So can you leave that up for me? So let's have a look at them. Love. Love is something that you give. Joy is something we can share and share together. Peace is not just within our own spirit, but we want all to be in, live in peace. And as you know, shalom is not just peace, but it means being content in your circumstances. Your circumstances may not be the best in the world, but if you are content within your circumstances, you have shalom, or peace. Patience means you have to be forgiving to one another. Kindness is your approach to people. Goodness is the good works towards others out of love. Faithfulness, we share together as a messianic family body. Humility, this is your humbleness. We should not be puffed up in any way. And self-control is what you have towards people regardless of the circumstances. And the last scripture I want to bring you is out of Kepha Bet, 2 Peter 1:5. "For this very reason, try your hardest to furnish your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with perseverance, perseverance with holiness, holiness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. If you have these qualities in abundance, they keep you from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach. It also is our goal of reaching the kingdom of Yehovah. Are there any questions? No questions? Okay, well, we'll move on to the remembrance service.